Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
So let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come to your house. I thank you, Lord, for your guidance and protection. I thank you, Lord, for your provision. Most of all, Father, for just blessing us with wisdom and clarity and sight, Lord. I ask you, Lord, most of all, you guide our tongues, you guide our ears, and guide our hands to do your work. Protect the pastoral teams around us, Lord. Give them wisdom and clarity. Most of all, Lord, protect the congregations. Let them hear your word. Let them be blessed spiritually, mentally, and physically, Lord. Look after all of our troops overseas and here on the ground. Look after our first responders, Lord. Protect them. Please let nobody fall. We ask all these things in your awesome name, Lord. Amen. Please rise for worship.
for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds we are healed. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, by his wounds we are healed. We are healed by your sacrifice in the life that you gave. We are healed for you paid the price. By your grace we are saved. We are saved. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We are healed by your sacrifice in the life that you gave. We are healed. By your grace we are saved, we are saved. He was pierced for our transgression, he was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds, by his leave it all behind, leave it all behind, leave it all behind, leave it all behind. I have what you need, but you keep on searching. I've done all the work, but you keep on working. When you're running on empty, can't find the remedy, just come to the well. You can spend your whole life chasing what's missing, but that empty inside, it just ain't gonna listen. When nothing can satisfy, and the world leaves you high and dry, come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind. Bring me your heart, no matter how broken. Just come as you are, when your last prayer is spoken. Just rest in my arms a while, you'll feel the change, my child. When you come, come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. Your full of love beyond measure, your joy's gonna flow like a stream in the desert. Soon all the world will see the living water is found in me, 'cause you've come to the well. And all who leave it all behind, 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 and come to the
forward. We're going to have our children's lesson. How you all doing? Have you been having a good couple months of school already? Do you have any favorite subjects? What do you like to learn at school? What do you like to learn? Social studies, cool. What do you like to learn? What? Music? I love music. Well, you know what? There's those subjects that we take in school that can really help our brains to grow and develop. And those are things that we really need as boys and girls. Well, I'm going to tell you a story. This story is about some animals. These animals wanted to start a school, but they decided the courses would include running, climbing, swimming, and flying. Then they decided that all the animals should take all the courses. That's where the problem started. Well, here we've got our first little animal. Would you like to hold my duck for me? Hold him. Stand up here and hold him for me. Show everybody my squishy little duck. Well, the duck was better than his teacher at swimming, but he only made passing grades in flying and was very poor in running. So they made him drop swimming and stay after school to practice running. This caused his little web feet to be badly worn, and his grade dropped to average in swimming. But everybody felt less threatened and more comfortable with that, except the duck. Thank you. Then we have the rabbit. Nora, you want to hold my bunny rabbit? Here's my funny bunny. Then we have the rabbit. The rabbit started at the top of his class in running, but because of so much makeup work and swimming, he caught pneumonia, and he had to drop out of school. Poor little bunny. Oh, shoot. One second. That's okay. Paul, want to hold my squirrel? Then we have the squirrel. The squirrel showed outstanding ability in climbing, but he was extremely frustrating in flying class because you do know some squirrels fly. Well, the teacher insisted that he start from the ground up rather than the treetop down. He developed Charlie horses from overextension. So he only got a C in climbing, and he got a D in running. And last of all is my bird. You want to hold my bird for me? All righty. The bird was the problem student and was disciplined for not conforming. For instance, in climbing class, he beat all the others to the top of the tree, but he insisted on flying to get there. Finally, because he refused to participate in swimming class, he was expelled. As you all can imagine, the animal school didn't work out. Different animals are designed to excel in specific areas, and they can't be expected to do all the other things. A duck is made to be a duck, right? Not anything else. Well, guess what? It's the same for people. God has designed each person different from all the others. When you expect everyone else to fit in the same mold, the result is frustration, discouragement, and failure. God didn't make you to fly, did he? Imagine if you had to take flying class. What would happen? It wouldn't work out very good, would it? And guess what? No two people are the same. You are unique in every single way. You have a unique voice, a unique eye color, and even a unique thumbprint. Even your heart is unique. No one in all of history and even in all of the future is just like you. And in the Bible, in Psalms 139, and also in Jeremiah 1:5, it talks about how God knit us. He knew us before we were born, and he knit us together and made us just the way you're supposed to be. So let's say a little prayer, okay? Dear Jesus, be with each one of these boys and girls and help them to understand and know how special and unique they are and use the gifts that God made them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you can go.
Let's give it up. Wonderful job. Wonderful, wonderful job this morning. Oh, does it feel good to be here this morning? Exciting. You know, I just want to welcome everybody, our guests that are joining us this morning, whether you're online, on the radio, or even here in person. I love seeing it when we've got more and more people here coming together to worship Christ, united as one. But before we get into the message this morning, let's just take a minute and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the opportunity we have to gather together to celebrate your Son, to gather together and just learn more about who you are. Father, I pray that this morning that it may just penetrate the hardest of hearts, the message. And Father, I pray that it's your words that are spoken and not my own. Father, if anything is said that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, this morning, the title of the message is called Unexpected. And that's what we're calling it. And last week, we spoke about how all of us believers, we make up the body of Christ. And that it's all of us together. It's not one individual people or just a couple people. It's everyone who calls on the name of Jesus and calls him their Lord and Savior is part of the body of Christ. That each one of us have a purpose and a goal that we are set to do that God has for each of us. I spoke about how there's no part in the body that's more important or less important than the other. That it takes everyone together to do it. It's each of us together to accomplish the goal of sharing the gospel of Jesus to the world around us. To show the community that God loves them. That it takes even the weakest member who sees themselves as just a minor person in the body to complete the calling that the church has, which is to share Jesus with the world around us. This week, though, we're going to be looking at how God used one of the most unlikely people in the Bible to accomplish his goal. How he answered an entire nation's cry for help through this one man, even when this man himself thought he couldn't do it or never would accomplish it. You know, several weeks ago, we talked about how Moses and how God had prepared him for a time to lead Israel out of Egypt. How God helped him get that best education of the time. How God watched over him to the point that it was time for him to step up and lead his people. He had some of the knowledge. He had some of the wisdom on how to do that. Yet, he had to go through a humbling process before he can make those steps. Today, we're going to be looking at someone who had none of that. He had none of that formal training. He had none of that stuff. He was considered the low end of society. He was the lowest of the low within his clan. He was a person that no one would have expected anything great out of. Yet God called him and used him in some mighty ways. We're talking about Gideon this morning. Has God ever presented you with a calling or a task or a mission in your life? Something that sounded very scary and that put all kinds of doubts and fears into you at that very moment. Maybe you just found out that you're going to be a parent for the first, second, or third time. And you thought to yourself, I can't do this. I'm not ready for this. You might have been asked to take on a new role, maybe lead a project, yet you're scared because you've never done anything like that before. You've never led a project. This is a first for you. And you're not sure you know how to do it. Maybe someone from church here has asked you to be a small group leader or a Sunday school teacher, and all you could think about is how you have no idea how to do that, or there's no way I'm called to do that kind of job. You might even have been offered a management position at your job, and all you can think is, I've never managed people before. How do I ever do this? See, it doesn't really matter what the calling is. We all have something that scares us. Often when we come up with excuses, though, on why we can't do it. I remember my own calling into ministry. The first time I got called into ministry, I was 13. Yet, as many of you know, I ran from that calling for a long time. Yet, God never gave up on that calling in my life. He kept pushing forward. And at the age of 22, I finally relented and I accepted that calling. And I entered into ministry. I still remember the reluctance and the fear that I felt at that time, and even saying yes. You have to understand, so in high school, I wasn't a bad student, but there was a few subjects that weren't exactly my strong suit, okay? And one of those was English and reading. Those are two things I did not heavily enjoy, and I struggled in them. Yet God was calling me to an area, and if you guys don't know this about ministry, especially in my position, I do a lot of reading and writing. That is what I do on a lot of days. It's a requirement, and it requires it. It also requires public speaking, not something that was my strong suit either. I was the one who would normally hide behind the group if we had a public speaking to do as a group project. I never even thought about wanting to become a teacher or anything along those lines beforehand. Yet here was God asking me to step out into ministry. I looked at the pastors that I knew and how well they spoke and how they had this ability to relay God's message in such a way that others understood what God was saying. When I spoke to them about ministry and all the details of what their daily schedule looked like and their weekly schedules looked like, all I could keep telling myself is there is no way I can do that. Yet God called me to step up and step out. God called me. So what am I to do? Have you guys ever watched one of those old John Wayne movies? You know, where the one where the little kid doesn't know how to swim. They love throwing this one on Facebook. The little kid doesn't know how to swim, and he's sitting there fishing, and he's like, what, you don't know how to swim? So he just grabs the kid and throws him over into the river, and he's sitting there panicking, and the mom comes running out because she's panicked too. It makes me laugh, but if you ever figure it out, the kid learned how to swim. I don't know if you guys have noticed, God doesn't seem to mind teaching us by throwing us straight into the deep end of the pool. He doesn't mind asking us to step out way beyond our own abilities. Oftentimes, he prepares us in this way. He prepares us in ways that we never knew we were being prepared. I look back at some of the jobs that I worked at a younger age and how often I was working with people or the general public, how God opened doors for me to get jobs that honestly I probably shouldn't have had at those ages. Yet, I look back and every one of those jobs had this unique step that helped prepare me for the calling that God was placing me in. And when he combined them all, it gifted me with a lot of things I never realized that I had. We look at both Joseph and Moses recently, and God prepared both of them for the tasks he had at hand before they even knew what God was calling them to do. Yet there's still times when we feel way over our heads, and God just says, you're up. You're the person I'm calling to lead this mission. Are you ready to say yes at that moment? You said your life is his. You made a commitment to follow Jesus, to turn your back to the things of this world and your own selfish desires, and to follow Jesus. You said you surrendered your life to him. So are you ready to actually follow through with that? When we step out in faith and we follow what God is calling us to do, God uses those moments to mold us to be the person that he has called us to be. We don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to know how to do something perfectly or how exactly God's going to get this project done or how he's going to use you for it. All we have to do is be willing to trust in the one who knows. Are you ready to say yes to that? Even in that moment of difficulty and uncertainty, are you ready to say yes? You know, we look at Gideon today, and as I studied through reading this week, there's several things that I became aware of about Gideon, especially before he said yes. Gideon was a simple man. He was not a man looking for glory. He was not a man looking to become some great leader. He didn't see himself as anyone really special. All he wanted to do was survive and take care of his family. And I think many of us can relate to that here today. We just want to be able to go through life, take care of our families, and go from there. In fact, when God tried to call Gideon, he kept trying to get out of what God was calling him to do. He made all types of excuses. But God called Gideon. He didn't call his brother. He didn't call another family member or other people from his tribe or other people from his nation. God called Gideon. As we go through this story, we can see how what happens to him can happen to us. We can see how God can use our fear and our weakness and turn them into strengths. As one person put it, God makes men by turning our weaknesses into strengths in such a striking way that only God can get the glory. Think about this for a minute. God wants to use our weakness in such a way that he is glorified. Yet often we allow our weaknesses to paralyze us to the point that we don't move. If we flip over to Judges chapter 6, verse 1, it tells us the Israelites did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord handed them over to the Midians for 7 years. This was a horrible time for Israel. They had turned their backs on God. They had started to worship false idols and push God out. Because they had rejected God, he allowed their enemies to take them over. He allowed them to come in and destroy everything they had. In verses 2 through 3, it tells us that they oppressed Israel because of Midian, and the Israelites made hiding places for themselves in the mountains and caves and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted crops, the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east came and attacked them. They had to run from their own homes. They had to hide in the hills. And they had to do all of that to try to evade their invaders. They couldn't grow their food. In verse 4, it tells us that they left nothing for Israel to eat. No sheep, no oxen, no donkeys, no nothing was left. The Midianites are described in verse 5 as a swarm of locusts. It tells us that the land was laid to waste by the Midianites. This went on for 7 years because the Bible tells us in verse 6 then, so Israel became poverty-stricken because of Midian, and the Israelites cried out to the Lord. They finally called back to God. They had enough. They couldn't take it anymore. They tried to live a life that their way, and it failed. They had lost the protection of God, and they wanted him back. God heard the cries. He decided, as he normally does, to send a man. God heard the cries of the Israelites, and he made a decision that he was going to send a man. This man was Gideon. He wasn't the man you would expect. He wasn't a powerful leader from Israel. He wasn't from a powerful family or with great wealth. He wasn't a priest or even somebody in the line of priests. He was probably one of the least expected people you could ever imagine for God to call on to help the Israelites. When we first see Gideon, he was living as a refugee in his own hometown, in his own home. It tells us in verse 11 that he had turned a wine press into a hideout where he could prepare food for his family without the enemy finding out. It tells us in verse 12, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, valiant warrior." He's called a valiant warrior. You can imagine that was a phrase he never expected to be called. He was one of the least likely people in the Bible to be called a valiant warrior at this time, let alone being called to lead an army. He would not be the person that you and I would call on to lead. But here's the thing. Gideon didn't see what God saw. Gideon only saw what Gideon saw. We do the same thing. We often don't see what God sees inside of us or what God sees inside of a particular person. We don't often see what God sees in our future, what God has planned for us. We just see the things that we want to say no to. See, God knows what's in store for our future. God sees who we are becoming and how he will use us before we ever even realize what he's going to do with us. All we see is the doubts and the fears. Our view is restricted by our worldview, our power, and our own individual strength. Often when God calls us, all we think is all the reasons not to do something. When God calls you, if God asked you, if somebody came to you today and asked you to lead a Sunday school, what would you say? How many negative answers would you have in your head on why you can't do it? If somebody said, that person over there needs Jesus right now, they don't know who Jesus is, all you need to do is go share the gospel, and I promise you that they will accept, but somebody needs to actually tell them? How many of you would be willing to actually go do that at this very moment? Or how many of you would think of all the reasons that you can't do it? All the things that hold you back. We list all the problems. We list all the obstacles. Gideon did the same thing. Verse 13, it tells us, please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened? And where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about? They said, hasn't the Lord brought us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to Midian. He just saw the reason not to. He saw the reason not to say yes. But God didn't argue with him. Instead, he just gave him marching orders. And he sent him out. It tells us in verse 14, the Lord turned to him and said, go in your strength, you have, and deliver Israel from the grasp of Midian. I am sending you. And he responded, please, Lord, how can I deliver Israel? Look at my family. It's the weakest in all of our tribe. And I'm the youngest in my father's family. In verse 16, God responds, but I will be with you. You will strike Midian down as if it were one man. If God is calling you, he's with you. You can do more than you ever imagined if God is the one calling you. He will go in front of you and guide your way. You have nothing to fear. He is with you throughout the calling and the assignment. No matter how overwhelming and terrifying God's calling is on your life, he wants you to know that he is with you. Just like he told Gideon, but I will be with you. We often forget this. When God calls, we only think about what we can do. We don't think about what God can do. We don't listen to what he's done in our past. As this calling comes across, we sometimes wonder, how can we be sure that that is God speaking to us? I'm sure many of us have asked, God, is that really you? God, are you the one calling me to this mission? Are you the one guiding me? Are you the one asking me to step up? Gideon asked the same question. Yes, is that really you, God? Even to the point that he asked God for a sign that it was really him asking. In verse 17, it says, then he said to him, if I have found favor with you, give me a sign that you are speaking with me. So God answered, and he gave him a sign. Even after God had given him a sign, Gideon asked just a couple more signs, ending with the famous fleece question that I'm sure some of you have heard before. Some of you may not have. Verse 36 and 37 tells us, then Gideon said to God, if you will deliver Israel by me, as you said, I will put a wool fleece here on the threshing floor. If dew is only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, I will know that you will deliver Israel by me, as you said. And it happened, just like that. God answered. And the wool fleece had dew on it, but the ground was dry. In verse 39, he does it one more time. He says, don't be angry with me. Let me speak one more time. Please allow me to make one more test with this fleece. Let it remain dry in the dew being all on the ground. And again, God answered him. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and test God. I'm not telling you to go out and do that. But if you have nerves about your calling, if you're scared about what he is calling you to do, God will give you encouragement along the way. It may be a friend walking up to you and reminding you or saying something and saying, hey, you know, have you ever thought about this? It could be just giving that little bit of encouragement. It may be God placing a Bible verse inside your heart as a reminder. Suddenly, have you ever had that moment where you're praying, you're trying to figure something out, and it's like this verse just snaps right in your head, that little train of thought. And God's using those things as reminders. It could also be that your plans fell through. The things that you thought you would do suddenly stopped. It could also be new opportunities presenting themselves when you least expected. And it could be that still small whisper inside of you. And believe it or not, sometimes when we ask God for a sign, if we say, Lord, I just need to confirm this is you, silence is a sign as well. Silence is God speaking as well. Oftentimes that means no or wait. If God has called you to an assignment, what's holding you back from doing it? If God has called you to step up, to become the hands and feet of Jesus like we talked about last week, what is stopping you from doing it? You know what, if you have questions, is it really God? Ask the Holy Spirit. Ask God to confirm it. In John 14, 26, it says, "But the Counselor of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you." That's the Holy Spirit's job. And he works inside all of us who believe in Jesus. We know that when Gideon finally stepped up and he took the job God gave him, he started with 32,000 troops against 135,000. Only for God to shrink that group all the way down to eventually 300 men. The Bible actually tells us the reason that God brought the troop numbers down. In Judges 7, verse 2, it says, "The Lord said to Gideon, 'You have too many troops for me to hand the Midianites over to them, or else Israel might elevate themselves over me and say, I save myself.' And with only 300 men, they destroyed the Midianites." God did that on purpose so Israel could not say it was because they were these great, valiant warriors. Guys, it doesn't matter what our weaknesses are. It doesn't matter what our strengths are. Oftentimes, God likes to use our weaknesses to work through us. But God's not limited by our weaknesses. We are. But God's not. He's strong enough for you as long as you trust him. In 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 29, it tells us, "Brothers and sisters, consider your calling. Not many were wise from human perspective, not many powerful, not many of noble birth. Instead, God has chosen what is foolish in the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God has chosen what is significant and despised in the world, what is viewed as nothing to bring to nothing, what is viewed as something so that no one may boast in his presence." In 2 Corinthians 12, 9, Paul tells us, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will most gladly boast in all the more about your weakness so that Christ's power may reside in me." God uses the weak of the world to accomplish his work. As one commentator put it, God works through the present and the willing, not the absent and the able. Think about that for a minute. You guys, we look in our world around us, and I've heard some of you guys say this before, man, our country is going in one direction, in a bad direction, or our state's going in a bad direction, our community needs help, we have these family members who are we have these homes that are divided, we have more and more divorces, we have kids without parents at home, we see these different struggles, we see these different activities going on, and everybody needs help, and that we've got people who aren't eating, and we've got people who are homeless, and we see all these different things. Last week, I talked about how we're supposed to be the body of Christ, and we sit here and we complain about it, and God has put it on each of us to work together to reach these people. But here's the thing, like the song said this morning, we sit there and we start asking God, why don't you do something? How many of you guys have seen that before? You're wondering, like, these families tearing apart, and you're sitting there, or you see something bad, and you're wondering, God, why don't you do something? Why don't you step up and just do something? We know you're all powerful, but here's the thing. He did do something. He created you. We are the body of Christ. We are his hands and feet here on earth. When we constantly just push it off and say, somebody else will take care of it, I don't know how, I'm not strong enough, but God is nudging you to step up and to do it, but yet you refuse to do it, you are handicapping the body of Christ on what it's supposed to do. You are hurting your fellow believers, and you are hurting the people that you're supposed to tell about Jesus. We committed our lives to Christ. Most of you can tell me when you made that commitment. But did you actually mean it? Did you actually mean it? Is your life his? Or is your life yours and only given to him when it's convenient for you? He created you. He gave you that calling. He's just waiting for you to say yes. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather to worship you. Father, I ask that this morning that we'd be willing to reflect in on ourselves, that we may see the calling that you have placed in our lives, even when it's uncomfortable. Father, may we learn to say yes to you instead of giving you all the reasons on why we can't do something, knowing that you are in charge and that if you are part of this, there's nothing that can hold us back. That you are the one we're here to serve. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
As you go out this week,
May you seek him. May you seek what he's calling you to do in your life. May you learn to move in his strength and not your own. God bless you guys. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.